Good morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to see all of you today and all of those who are with us on the internet. Several announcements for you. The first one is a new one. The new church proposed budget for this next church year is out. So if you're here today, it's on orange paper and you can pick it up outside the sanctuary doors. It's also in the office if you'd like to pick it up this week to look at it. It will also be emailed to you if you're on our newsletter list. Today after the service, we will email all of you with an attachment so you can take a look at the budget because next week is church council and church conference, and we will be voting on that budget. So pick one up or come by the office or check your email for that. A reminder also that deacon election will be happening next week, or it'll be happening, yes, next week, the 13th and also the 20th. And something I haven't mentioned in the last few weeks is that that ballot is 5 blank spaces. So you come in on a normal Sunday and you look around, lots of us do, and we fill in names of people we see, but there aren't many people here. So you need to be thinking about who you want to vote to be deacons in the next coming years. It can be male or female here at Poplar Springs. You just have to be 21 or older and a member of Poplar Springs. So this would be a great chance for you to get on your church directory and to update your picture and to look around and see who is a member of Poplar Springs. But that will be coming up in next week if you are A through H, and then the next week if you are our L through Z group. Be looking out for a message this week about an update for Sunday school. Adult classes have been meeting by discretion at this point, and we had been hoping and planning to start back with Youth and Kids Sunday School next week. We are working on that. We've got to contact teachers, make sure people are coming, and make sure we have adequate space because a lot of our classes are full. So we'll let you know how that goes. We will start back with worship nursery next Sunday. So anyone in need of worship, in need of nursery during worship, because we all need worship, that starts back next Sunday. A reminder also that if you have receipts that need to be turned in to the church office because you need things taken out of this church budget year if you're on a committee, those are due to Vicki by Monday, September 28th, so she can get all of that logged into the computer before the budget year changes. And youth this week, we're meeting in small groups, and that will be 10th grade, small dining room at 6 o'clock if you are in 10th grade. Today we're going to do something a little different. We are starting with a prelude after announcement. So if you will take this time to still your mind and still your heart and pray and prepare for our time together in worship.
Thank you. two specific prayer concerns in our church to be praying for. Mark Hamrick, he is waiting test results this week, so if you'll be praying for Mark. And Stacy Kale. Stacy is recovering from surgery, so be praying for her as she recovers. I know we have a lot of prayer concerns in our country, in our community, on our hearts. So as we pray this morning, I'm going to mention several things that we can be praying for, and then I'm going to pause and allow each of us time to pray individually for whatever God lays on our heart and whatever burdens we may be carrying. So if you're at home or if you're here with us this morning, let's bow together in prayer. God, we are thankful for another week that we get to come and worship together. And God, we thank you for the avenues of online worship that we have so that those who aren't able to join us can still join us in spirit and are still able to worship you. God, there are so many things that we can be praying for right now. God, so many things, not just in our own personal lives, but in the lives of this world, in our country, in our community, that we can be lifting up to you, and we want to do that this morning. God, we have those in our church, those in our community who are hurting, who are dealing with illness or recovery from surgeries. So God, this morning we pause in these moments and we pray for health and for healing. God, we're so thankful for our teachers and our school administrations who are working so hard right now to provide quality education for our kids during this unusual time. So God, we give you thanks for them. We give you thanks for the progress we're making in our school year this year that we're still able to meet. But God, we know that teachers are tired in a new way they've never been before, God. We know that students are adjusting to different schedules. Parents are having to take on extra teaching tasks at home. So God, in these moments, we pray for our students and our teachers and our parents and our school system. God, our country and our world have seen a lot this year. And God, we're dealing with a year in which we are looking toward an election. A year, God, when we've seen natural disasters and pandemics sweep across our world. A year in our country, God, when there are social issues that are arising, God, and there's unrest within our communities. And God, in so many ways, our communities and our society are divided and they're polarized. God, in these moments, we pray for reconciliation. We pray for peace. And we pray for all of our hearts to be reminded that we are to serve and to love each other. God, as we continue through this time of worship, challenge our hearts this morning. Restore our hearts. Revive our hearts. God, may we be reminded of who you are in our lives and what you've called us to be as your children. God, we thank you for Poplar Springs, and we thank you for this place that we can come together, that we can be your family, and that we can worship you. God, may all we do this morning bring you honor and glory and praise. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I also want to remind you that your deacon of the week this week is Russell Hamrick. And if you need anything, you can contact Russell or you can contact any of our deacons if you cannot get someone on staff.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Glad to be here today. We want to welcome those who are joining us on their TVs and computers. We're glad you're with us as well. Scripture this morning comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and we're talking about a question: is work a blessing or a curse? And it depends on the day for many of us what it is, but is it a blessing or a curse? And we're going to try to look at that just a little bit today. But I want to start with our scripture today, which is Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Verse 17, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife, which is usually a good thing, I found at my house. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat plants of the field. For dust you are, and dust you will return. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. Let's pray together. Father, a rather harsh scripture that talks about work and the fact that it sometimes is a curse. But it's not always that way. I think as we look at the scriptures, Father, we find that it's a blessing as well. But we've had to struggle with the scriptures, and we have to look at them. And I pray you'll share with us, Father, the word you'd have for us to hear today. I thank you for the music and the worship we've already participated in. And I pray, God, that you just might speak to us today, that we might have a word from you that we can share with the world around us. And I pray, Father, that we will live a life that's pleasing to you and that we'll be a blessing in our work as you bless us. I thank you, God, for this Labor Day weekend. Hopefully tomorrow we won't do much labor. We'll probably vacation or enjoy some time together, family and friends. But I pray, God, you'll just help us to make the most of every day you've given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, but the past couple of weeks I've been trying to work in my yard. Been trying to. If it weren't for my neighbor, Butch. Butch helps me a lot because he saw my yard falling into disrepair because it's been so hot. And I get out there, and I found out that I'm not the man I used to be. You do know I'm not well. And I get out there and I think it's a pity party for me because I get out there and I can't shovel like I used to, and I can't rake like I used to, and I can't dig like I used to. And folks kind of look at me and go, poor Andy, I need to go help him. So my neighbor Butch helps me a lot. But these 90 degree days, heat index in the hundreds, it's been tough. It's been tough. Cutting grass, weeding flower beds, trimming and edging, it's been tough. On days like this, or like those, the scripture comes to life. It makes sense. Heat, sweat, thirst, fatigue, aches and pains. Work is a pain and work is a struggle. It's tough, even if you do like yard work, which I do at times. The scripture says this today: it's Adam's fault. Adam would have said, it's Eve's fault. And Eve would have said, it's that sneaky serpent's serpent's fault. We're talking about the fall of mankind in Genesis chapter 3 and the repercussions of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. A tricky scripture, an informative scripture, a helpful scripture. Adam and Eve had it made. They had it made. The Garden of Eden, a beautiful place, a most pleasant place. No clothes, no shirt, no shoes, no difficulty, no problem. Life was good. It was simple. You just walked around in the garden. Then Adam and Eve decided they did not want the boundaries. They didn't want the boundaries. They didn't want God telling them what to do. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like to be accountable. And they didn't want to even be accountable to God. God established limits. He said, don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that tree. The garden is for you to do as you wish. You enjoy the garden. Have a good time. Swim in the rivers. Frolic. Have a good time. But don't mess with that tree. They passed, and they did. They messed with it. They took of the fruit and partook in it. They passed this characteristic to later generations. If you don't believe me, I'll give you an example. When I was in seminary, I was on the paint crew, and we painted departments for folks who moved in. And occasionally, well, quite a few times, they would have kids. They'd have children when they came to seminary. We'd paint a wall, and I'd say, don't touch that wall, it's wet. I'd be nice. I'd say, you don't want to touch that wall. What do you think happened? I'd say, did you touch the wall? No. And there'd be a big white place on their finger. We have that in our, it starts at a very young age. We don't want boundaries. We want to do our own thing. It only took a small nudge by the sneaky serpent to get Adam and Eve to disobey. They decided they needed to try the fruit of the forbidden tree, and they did. They disobeyed God, and that's sin. That's sin, disobeying God, doing what we want as opposed to what God wants us to do. That is sin. And sin became a reality in this world. Genesis 3 gives the account of the incident. And one of the consequences was Adam was going to have to get a job. Adam was going to have to get a job. No more wandering the garden in his birthday suit. It wasn't going to happen anymore. He had to make fig leaf breeches, pants. I bet that looked good. No more wandering in the garden. No more watching ESPN, Netflix, or CNN, or Fox. No more of that. He was going to have to work. It was not going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy. In fact, it was perceived as a curse. Life changed for the first family. It changed because of their disobedience. For Adam, it was not pleasant. He was going to have to work hard, tilling the ground before John Deere was around, and pulling weeds before Roundup. That happened in my yard. My yard got so bad out of shape that I just went ahead and took a fire hose and put Roundup in it and sprayed the whole yard. It's terrible. And coming home in the evening, dead tired, to sit in his primitive recliner and take it easy. It was tough for Adam. It was tough. The question I'm dealing with today is this. Is work a curse for everyone? Did Adam mess it up for all of us? Did he mess it up for all of us? I once had a job counting elastic belts for JCPenney. One, I don't do math. I don't count. We got the long division in the second grade, and I gave up. Now, don't do that, kids. But I have a hard time with that. I used to get an inventory pass when we have inventory at the places I work. And you can go home. But I was counting belts for JCPenney. Two, I had a tendency to tangle. The belts had a tendency to tangle. Belts do that when they're in a box in bulk. And the elastic was a tool of Satan. I'm sure people enjoyed watching me. I'm sure they enjoyed watching me. My frustration with counting the belts and untangling them. It led to consequences. There were consequences for that. Because of my impatience, I broke my big toe. Counting belts. Broke my big toe. When I kicked what I thought was an empty box but weighed 50 pounds. And my foot gave in before the box did. I put a gash in the middle of my head. And I had my driver's license picture put in there with that. I looked like a Hindu. Right there it was. Because I pulled the belt, and in anger I pulled it, and it goes. And there was blood everywhere. I didn't enjoy that job. It was a curse. I did not enjoy that job. But I enjoy work now. I love work. I enjoy yard work. Kim, I do. Raking leaves, cutting grass. I try to do home repair. I've told you about my washing machine incident at the time my dryer, I fixed it, and I did such a good job on it, I decided to fix the washing machine, but it wasn't broken, and it cost me $300 to get it fixed after I worked on it. I enjoy doing things like that. I enjoyed painting houses with my brother-in-law Andy. My brother-in-law's Andy. We had Andy Squared Painting Service. I enjoyed painting with him. We listened to 70s music, and we talked about life. I love my work here. I love it. I tell you, folks, I work 2 hours a week, and those are the 2 hours I'm on the phone. I love working with the staff. I love working with this congregation. I love working with the leaders. And I'm saying this because it's budget time. But I love it here. I love my work, and I don't make any bones about it. So what is it about work? Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Is it a blessing or is it a curse? It seems to me it can be both. It can be both. And yet we have a scriptural blanket statement, it seems. So it looks like I'm going to have to try to make sense of this. And feel free to disagree. Feel free to disagree. I'll simply call my exposition, Struggling with the Text. And we can conclude as you see fit. I have concluded, work can be a curse and work can be a blessing. I've already said that, but it can be a curse and a blessing. And it is a necessity. It is a necessity. We have to work. I hope it can be a blessing for you. I hope it is a blessing for you. When is our labor a curse? When is it a curse? Work is meaningless when it's punishment or hard labor. Working on a chain gang, busting rocks, something like that. Working is punishment or hard labor. When it's done under duress, it's a curse. Prisoners of war, slavery. I'm reminded of the poverty of earlier years when laws finally had to be enacted to take care of children who were working in mills because they were being abused in mills, working at young ages. A lot of our grandparents couldn't make it past the fifth or sixth grade because they were working in mills sometimes. They were abused. There are folks who were trapped in unjust work environments, especially in the old days, long time ago. Our aunt, my brother and sister's aunt, who lived next door, gave us a bunch of records one time. And one of those records was Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons. Have you heard it? 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. Owe my soul to the company store. That's a depressing song, but it's talking about an earlier day. Employees at mills and factories were being paid with money that was produced by employers, produced by the mill, money that was called script, I think. Is that, if I'm not mistaken, script? It was money that was paid to them, but it was good only at the place there, at the company store. And many times high prices were charged, and the money received for wages was only good at that store. Workers racked up high debts at the company store, and they were essentially worked as slaves. They couldn't move away from the situation because they did not possess real money. It was a bad situation. It was a curse. These are just a few examples of work that seems like a curse. Today in our society, and even in earlier days, there are factors that make work a blessing. We need to think about that a little bit. Let's take a look at this perspective. When it's a blessing, I believe gratifying work is a necessity. We have to be gratified by what we do. It has to be something that we find meaning in. I discovered this a couple of years ago. You probably discovered it too. I'm happiest when I'm busy. When I'm busy. My, the days go long and hard when there's nothing to do. These last couple of months have been difficult because my schedule in my office is this. I work in the mornings in the office. In the afternoon, I go visiting nursing homes and places like that so I can see people and get my perspective and get therapy. But it's not like that. It's different now. Every once in a while, I go crazy and make a driveway visit. And I need to do that. But, you know, it's tough when you don't have things. Days fly by when you're busy, when you have things going on. Work has to have meaning and significance. It has to make you want to get up and get busy. It has to make you want to get up in the morning. Freedom needs to be a part of the equation as well. Freedom. Freedom. We live in a country where we have the liberty to do what we feel led to do. Do what we feel led to do. The world's wide open. Folks from other countries migrate here and they say, it's wonderful, I can do whatever I want to do. But we're from here and we think about the fact that I can't do that. We have the freedom to do. The options are endless. And many of the endeavors we search for, the work is going to be hard. But it's good work. You had dreams and hopes of what you wanted to do when you grew up. I had my hopes as well. This is prophetic, and it's kind of strange, but my first thing I ever wanted to be, I remember watching TV, and I saw a preacher on there, and I said, I think I may want to be a preacher one day. But this was back in the days when I would see these preachers, and they would seem angry at everybody. But I told my mama, I was a mama's boy, I said, Mama, I want to be a preacher, but I want to be a nice one. I want to be a nice preacher. Well, I went from there to being a lawyer. I was going to be a lawyer. Could you see me doing that? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. It had been interesting. I went from there to being a journalist or a writer. That's what I wanted to do. And from there to owning a sporting goods store. I was going to own a sporting goods store. That was going to be me. And then finally, I was going to open an old general store in Montana and get away from everything. And then God called. I was a youth minister, and now I play a preacher on TV. The only hindrance to my freedom was this. When I told my dad when I was at Clemson, I said, Daddy, I think I'm going to major in forestry and be a forest ranger. He said, No, you're not. I said, Okay, you're paying. But freedom is an important factor in blessed work. Freedom. The freedom to do what you want. Another factor to consider. Work is rewarding when we're equipped and trained to do it well. When we're equipped and trained to do it well. And when you find your fit. When you find the place you belong. I'm not saying you don't venture out of your comfort zone. We have to do that. But instead you discover your calling. Evaluate your talents and abilities. And you secure your training to do the job well. God can help you find your fit. God can help you there. Seek His help. Some of you can share how God has helped you through the years. Many of you can. You've seen God work in your vocations, how He's opened doors and closed doors. Sort of how God has helped you in your search for meaningful labor. Satisfaction is found when you find God and find your fit. Work is rewarding when we have an overall goal, not just making money or acquiring stuff or becoming powerful and avoiding poverty. For me, and probably for many of you, you want the vocation to be a part of the plan in reaching the world for good and for God. You want it to be a part of your overall plan for reaching the world for good and for God. In service, is there a service element in there somewhere? And you want to find some enjoyment in your work. Do you enjoy your work? I've talked to folks who say, I dread Monday. And folks, I'm not just saying this because it's budget time. But on Sunday night, I'm going, I'm kind of excited about getting there. Because I love what I do. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. God is the key. God is the key. Life is good. Work is good when God is our guide and when He is our meaning and our purpose in striving and laboring. When He's there, everything comes through God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Most importantly, work is the most blessed endeavor when it's done in a way that brings glory and honor to God. Can you bring honor and glory to God in your work? I don't think I was bringing a whole lot of glory to God when I was kicking that box or when I was slinging that belt around that hit me in the head. I think God was kind of giggling a little bit, saying, well, I'm not getting a lot of glory there. 1 Peter 4:10-11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one who is speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, this includes work according to my dad, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Let it bring glory to God. A good passage to end on is a rather harsh passage from Paul. And it says, work is a necessity. It's a necessity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from any brother who is idle and does not live according to the instruction you have received from us. For you yourselves know you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Instead, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We wanted to be a model for you. For even when we were with you, we had this rule. You don't work, you don't eat. We hear this word, that some of you are idle. They're not busy. They're busybodies. Some people we command and urge, such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, never tire of doing what is right. The passage from the Apostle Paul stresses the importance of not being lazy and not being corrupted by those who are lazy. The idle person is going to find something to do even when they venture off the couch. Many times it's not good. Paul stresses that we need to work in order to provide for others, in order to contribute to society, to battle a sense of entitlement and dependence, to avoid having time to be busybodies and worry about everybody else's business. We have a job to do, and we do it well. And Paul is saying he and his guys were going to set the example. Are we setting the example to our children? Our Savior Jesus Christ set the supreme example. It all gets around to Jesus eventually, folks. It all gets around to him. Our Savior Jesus Christ is the supreme example. He was a carpenter. He had a job. He showed us that even the most menial task can be done for the glory of God. He came to work and serve humanity, and we can go and do likewise. The disciples arrived at the Last Supper with Jesus, and the question probably came up. In fact, it was probably the elephant in the room. Who's going to wash the feet? Who's going to do that? There weren't many disciples willing to do that, so Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll wash the feet. So Jesus took a towel and a basin and began washing feet, the task of a servant, a low job. John 13:12-17 explains his action after he did it. Do you understand what I've done for you? He said. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. I'm your teacher and Lord. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus took a small, humble task, work, and turned it into an act of worship. Can we do that? Can we take our humble act of work and turn it into worship? I believe we can. I believe our work can be an act of worship every day by being done well and without fanfare and doing your job humbly and to bring glory to Almighty God. Our work, starting today, can you do that? Go to work tomorrow with a new resolve. I'm going to bring glory to God in all this. Do it to the glory of God. Starting today. Do you know God can give meaning to your work? Do you believe that? In a relationship with Christ and living in His grace and mercy as God in the flesh, He will give you purpose in your toil and your labor. I pray that you'll come to know Jesus Christ in your life. Let's pray together. Father, it's important that we follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Work at times is very difficult. Sometimes it's very pleasant. But Father, I pray that you'll help us to do a good job for your glory and for your honor. On this Labor Day weekend, I pray that we'll take the time to be with family, enjoy the time of fellowship, but also help us be reminded that we're blessed because we have work to do and a purpose in life. Help us to do it to the best of our abilities. I pray that you'll bless us for being here today, Father. It's been a blessing to be here. I pray that you'll bless this congregation, bless those who are listening. I pray, Father, that you'll be with us in our workplaces, in the places where we serve. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. One of our forms of worship in the church is the ability to give, and we appreciate your gifts today. The box is outside there. You've been given through the week, and we appreciate that. We're doing well, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you giving the money. We appreciate you giving of your time. You've all been hard at work keeping this church afloat, and appreciate that. And we want to thank you for that. We want to thank the Lord for your resources that you've given. And we want to do that right now. And also offer a benediction as we hit the road here today. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for the generosity of this congregation, those folks who have supported us. I pray, Father, that we'll use these gifts to further your kingdom. There's work to be done out there, and I pray, Father, that we'll be generous with those monies and with our time and with our efforts so that we may further the kingdom of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that we'll cooperate with other churches and other organizations to get the work done. And I pray, Father, that you'll give us wisdom and guidance. I thank you for the time of worship to this day. I thank you for Labor Day weekend, God. It's a time to relax a little bit, hopefully. Some folks will be working, but some won't. And I pray that we'll take the time to just to somehow relax. But I pray, God, that you'll bless our time together this weekend. But I pray, Father, that you'll bless us as we go back to work, as we go back to our places of employment, that we may be the shining light and the salt of the earth that we're called to be. There'll be a people who do their job well and who love others and serve others and help others, that we won't backbite or try to get ahead by climbing on the shoulders of others. But in fact, Father, we'll seek your guidance and direction in all our decisions and work. Bless us, Father, as we go. Bless the other churches in our community, in our area, in the world, as they go out and do the work. I pray that you'll bless them, give them strength, and give them patience, endurance, as we spread the word. Jesus Christ is Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. See you next week.